Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Enriching People's Lives. Hi, this is Steve Saffington, speaking to you from Waco, Texas. And this is our first edition, our first program. The program is called Enriching People's Lives. And it's taken from one of our websites where we felt like, it would be doing clients an injustice if we just helped them make money without helping them in other areas of their lives, too. You know, what good would I be doing if I helped someone make $1 million, but yet they lost their marriage or lost their family or lost their health? So, again, we try to enrich people's lives, not just their finances. And so we're excited about the opportunity to get with you, broadcast this on Sunday morning. It's actually a Monday that I'm recording this. It's raining outside. For those of you in the area, you know we've had a lot of rain. I think it's probably getting to be about 10 inches here in the Waco area this month in October. Of course, the show will actually run November 1st. So happy November to you. My goodness, this year seems like it's really flown by. It's hard to believe it's already November. So what I'd like to do is just tell you a little bit about the plans for the show, tell you a little bit about my background, and want to read some excerpts from the book that I just recently wrote. It's called Today's Word on Money. And we want to celebrate the life of Paul J. Meyer, who just passed away last night. And Paul was very helpful to me with my book. He actually wrote a foreword. I'm going to read the foreword today. And for those of you who know him, he's given millions and millions of dollars in the Waco community and, of course, in other places, too. And so we want to celebrate his life. And, you know, he's impacted so many people. You know, that's actually how I got to Waco, was almost 22 years ago. My wife and I and our newborn son moved down to Waco, Texas in January of 1988 to come work for Mr. Meyer. And we've been here ever since. Waco has been a great place for us. And so, again, we're thankful for Mr. Meyer's life and the number of people that he impacted. Just to give you a little bit about my background, again, we've lived here in Waco for, it'll be 22 years here in about 2 months. We moved here in January of 1988, and I actually grew up on a farm in Oklahoma. My father raised wheat mainly. He ran some cattle every now and then and raised some cotton, a few other crops, but almost probably 90% of the time or more, he just concentrated on growing wheat. It was great land. It was a dry land farm. That's one reason that I get amused sometimes when people complain about the rain, because I can remember so many times as I was growing up, my father just praying so earnestly. You know, we needed rain, and where I grew up in southwestern Oklahoma, it was a little community called Mangum, right in the southwestern part of the state. It actually used to be part of Texas. The original surveyors got the one of the rivers mixed up with the Red River and thought that it was Texas. So Mangum, actually, you can go out to the cemetery and find tombstones there where someone was buried in Mangum, Texas. Of course, then it became Mangum, I guess it was Indian Territory. And then in 1907, Oklahoma became a state. So I grew up on the farm, and like I say, you know, we didn't irrigate, and so we were very dependent on rain to make a crop. And so, you know, I used to tease my father, who, you know, most years he would just raise one crop, and I would tell him that he was more of a gambler than a lot of people who went to Las Vegas, because his entire year's income would come in, you know, about over a two-week period of time there, typically in June. And I said, man, you're such a gambler. But again, I could see, looking back, how so many farmers are praying men and women, because they depend upon the elements to, you know, they're vulnerable to wind and rain and hail and so forth. And as I mentioned just to someone the other day, I think that my growing up on a farm, being reared on a farm, was I think it really helped me to understand more of the teachings of Jesus, because he used so many agrarian examples, because that was an agrarian society when he was living there in Israel 2,000 years ago. So I'm very thankful for that, that my upbringing, you know, helped me be open to and helped me to understand a lot of the principles that Jesus, the parables that he told and the principles that he taught. I finished high school in Mangum, Oklahoma in 1969. I was very active in school, in both academics and in athletics and a lot of other things. I enjoyed playing basketball, so I'm a big basketball fan now, just about any level, especially college and professional. And so I enjoy sports. My family, I have my wife, Anna. She and I have been married for, let's see, I guess it's about 26 and a half years. We have a son, Will, who will be 22 here in another couple months. And we have a daughter, Ruth, at 16, and a daughter, Sarah, that is 13. We homeschool our children. Since my wife and I are both former teachers, we feel like we kind of have an unfair advantage over a lot of other parents, because between the two of us, my wife and I really have, I guess, taught just about every grade for at least a brief period of time. I taught 7 years, and she taught, I think, 9 years. And then she and I both also taught private lessons. I taught guitar lessons. My wife taught dance and gymnastics lessons. But before that, after I graduated in 1969, I went to Oklahoma Baptist University. So felt like I had a great experience there in terms of the quality of teaching. I had, Rhodes Scholars for professors, and our classrooms were small. So I felt I really learned a lot about how to think. I look back and feel like one thing that was not desirable was that I feel like I heard too many arguments from the left, not as many from the right. And so it wasn't really a balanced approach. I regret that. I think that that would be one thing I would change if I could go back. I felt like too often the professors misled me or only told me half of the story. But thank God for his mercy. We've come through that, and we're able to examine and look at situations and think about them and then also pray and see what God's word has to say about various situations today, whether it's politics or education or various other issues. So anyway, I was a sociology major, political science minor at Oklahoma Baptist University. I graduated there in 1973 with a BA in sociology. I was accepted to go to Colorado State to get my PhD in sociology, but just felt like I shouldn't do that. Again, I wasn't really close to the Lord back then. I was saved when I was 12, but really drifted away from the Lord, especially in college. And so I wanted to learn to play guitar. I'd taken piano lessons since I was a small boy and enjoyed music, and so I stayed there in Shawnee, Oklahoma for another 4 years after I graduated from college, and studied guitar. I actually even opened up my own studio and taught as many as 50 lessons a week to various students in the area. Then in 1977, 4 years after I graduated from college, I moved back to my hometown of Mangum, Oklahoma, and continued to teach guitar lessons and also farmed with my father. But Mangum was a very small community, so we didn't have as many aspiring guitar students as I did when I was in Shawnee. So eventually I went back to a school and got my master's degree in elementary education, and continued to teach lessons and work with my father on the farm, but also taught school during the school year. So taught something different every year. I started out with, I taught migrant students. That's where I picked up a little bit of Spanish. And then I worked in the regular classroom. And actually worked with the gifted kids for several years and ended up in fifth and sixth grade social studies before I actually bought an SMI franchise. And that's how we got down to Waco. Actually, when we came to Waco for the first time, my wife and I flew down in a plane. I'm a private pilot. So we flew down, took a look at the business, and bought a franchise. And we had the franchise for about a year before Buddy Haney called me and invited me to come down to Waco and to move into the home office and actually be part of the franchise sales department. So my wife, again, she grew up on a farm also. Her name is Anna. And she is, to me, she is an energizer bunny. I have never seen anyone who can work as hard as my wife can. She's the quintessential Proverbs 31 lady. I mean, if you read that chapter that describes a godly wife, that is my wife to a T. Although she jokes and says that the only thing that doesn't describe her is the getting up before before dawn. But I have seen her get up before dawn if she needed to. But she is again, she was a school teacher, and she wears so many hats. She helps me with our business. She homeschools our children. She does so many other things. I tell people when I go shopping for her, if it's a birthday or a wedding anniversary or Mother's Day, anything like that, I don't go to a flower shop or I don't go to a jewelry store. I go to Sears Tool Department because she loves tools. She grew up on a farm and helped her dad. Her dad had a parts business also, so she loves to get under the hood. She loves to see how things work, and she loves different tools. And so she's really been a blessing to me in terms of the things that she enjoys doing, some of the things that I don't do. And, of course, I think that's something that God does for couples, is that we each have differences and we have likes and dislikes, and a lot of those things complement the other spouse so that we can be a blessing to each other, because a lot of the things that I enjoy doing, she doesn't. And some of the things she doesn't enjoy, you know, I do, so I can help her in those areas. So that's a little bit about me. Give you a little background on how we got to this point here. Like I say, we've been in Waco since 1988, and I worked at SMI until, I guess it was for about 4 years, until the fall of 1992. And then in 1993, I went to work at Edward Jones Investments, was there for almost 10 years. Then back in January of 2003, almost 7 years ago, we started our own firm. We had been praying about it for quite a while. We felt like the Lord wanted us to be able to offer a wider variety of investments, things that weren't tied to the stock market or to the bond market, and also things that you know, we wanted to be able to speak out on moral issues. So many investments today, so many companies either donate to or profit from abortion and pornography, gambling, and various other vices that a lot of people don't realize that's where their money is, you know, what they're investing in when they, you know, purchase a stock or a bond or a mutual fund or an annuity. And so I wanted to be able to offer things that from companies that didn't support these activities, and also wanted to be able to speak out on these issues. And so I was a lot freer to do that when I had my own firm. Now, so we've had TWM Group. We started out as Trinity Wealth Management, and then about 4 years ago, we started, we formed an LLC called TWM Group LLC. So we've been doing this type of business on our own for about almost 7 years. About 3 years ago, I began to really feel a prompting to write a book, and it's called Today's Word on Money. The book started out to be kind of an answer to some of the well-known advisors that you see on TV and you read their books hear them on the radio. And I just felt like so much of the advice they were giving was, while it was good, it was not for everybody in every situation. And I would have people come up to me and say, "Hey, did you hear so-and-so on TV? Or did you see this? Or did you read this book?" And so they had already made those changes in their financial picture. And I felt like it was inappropriate. For example, just give an example. Let's say that you have someone who is has a high income. And he hears someone say that, "Oh, you should only invest in mutual funds, that you shouldn't invest in an annuity, for example, or you shouldn't have anything but term insurance." Well, let's say that this person, again, is a professional person, a doctor or something of that nature. They make a high six-figure income. You know, in many situations, I think it would not be appropriate for that person to just buy a mutual fund, because the mutual fund is going to, they'll be susceptible to a lot of taxes, and they'll also be, if they ever get sued, that mutual fund can be attached. And so there are ways around that. So again, I didn't feel like some of the better known personalities were describing that well enough or explaining that well enough. And so that's one of the reasons we wrote the book. So you can go to our website. It's called, todaywordonmoney.com. That's today's, T-O-D-A-Y-S, word, W-O-R-D, on, O-N, money, M-O-N-E-Y.com. And we'll look at it here in a minute. I'll give you some things that you can share with you, some things that you can find on our website. But you can follow us on Facebook. If you go to that website, there's a little button you can click on, and that'll take you to our Facebook site. You can also follow us on Twitter. If those of you who like the social networks, if you'd like to do that, you can follow us there. And you can read our blog. You can click on a link there and go to our blog. You can also read samples, sample chapters from our book. You can read reviews from, a number of well-known Christians who have endorsed the book, and we'll probably read some of those one of these days on one of our shows. But the purpose for the writing of the book, as I started out, I was going to really get into a lot of discussions about products and strategies from a Christian perspective, but I realized as I was doing that I really, a friend of mine who I asked to help critique the book, he said, really, you've got two books here. You've got the kind of a devotional type of book where you're examining what the Bible says about money and about wealth and financial strategies, and then you've got actual practical 21st century examples of products and strategies that people are using or considering for use. He said, you might want to break that up into two different books. And so that's what I did. So this first book it examines the spiritual components of today's financial problems, today's financial issues. What I found, and this was my own experience personally, is that you can have lots of great products or strategies, and if your heart's not right, if you're not seeking the Lord first, putting Him first in your life, then the same strategy that might just really be great for someone who loves the Lord and is surrendered to Him, that same strategy might not do you any good at all. In fact, you might even lose money with it. I've seen that happen from time to time. I've had clients that they each had the same investment, but for some reason, when they bought it or whatever, the person who, surrendered everything to God and said, "Lord, this is yours. Please, you take care of it. It's not mine. I'm just a steward." That person got better results than the one who was who hadn't surrendered everything to God and was trying to control everything instead of letting God control. So as we go forward here with our book, or with these radio shows, well, let me just tell you a little bit about what we'll be doing. We'll probably deal at least with one financial issue each week. And it may take us several weeks sometimes to deal with a particular issue. You know, we'll talk about various issues like, you know, what does the Bible say about retirement? How much should you save? How much should we keep in various accounts? Should we have a mortgage? If we should, well, then what's the best way to do it? If you shouldn't, what's the best way to pay it off? We also want to have guests on our show. Again, this is enriching people's lives, not just their finances. So we want to invite people from other lines of work, you know, friends of mine, people that I know, people from various ministries. And we want to answer your questions. So please feel free to email us. And I'll give you that address here in just a minute. That email address is sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. That's sappingtoncommunications, SAPPINGTON, communications, COMMUNICATIONS, @gmail.com. So if you would like to ask a question, we would love to answer that. Just send us an email. Or if you, you'd like to be a guest on our show, or you know someone who whom I should interview, please send me that information, and we'll try to get them on the show. Again, I want us to kind of use this show as a hub or a clearinghouse, so that we can help each other. You know, if you know a good Christian furniture salesman, or you know a good Christian plumber, or you know a good Christian a dentist, let's help each other out and refer each other to people that we can trust. Again, I think that's becoming more and more important nowadays, as you see what's going on in the world, and we're starting to encounter more persecution even here in the United States. So and plus, if we can be a blessing to someone who we know that person is going to treat that money like it's God's, and ask God what he wants them to do with the money. You know, I would certainly rather do business with someone like that than someone who will never give any of it to God. That's the type of things we'll be doing on the show. And we would love to have you or your questions or your friends to make a contribution, so that, again, this can be a blessing to the entire area, the Christian community here. I want to go ahead and read the foreword for my book, written by Mr. Paul Meyer. We've got just about, I guess, 5 or 6 minutes left here, so let me read that to you before we close today, and then we'll get into to more of the show next week. Again, this is quoting Mr. Meyer. This is about a page long, so bear with me here, but I'm just so thankful for what he wrote here. He said, "Steve Sappington's timing couldn't be any better. With the endless stream of reports from media outlets, financial experts, and the government about our nation's gloomy economy, along with the ensuing concern and anxiety, his book, Today's Word on Money, offers a much-needed message of hope and help to those who desire to approach this dismal state of affairs with a more positive attitude and outlook. Initially, when outlining the topics for the book, Steve considered a straightforward, practical guide to personal financial planning and management. But while drafting outlines about estate planning, mortgages, and savings and investments, Steve realized that any remedy, particularly in today's corrupt financial environment, would have little worth without an outright change in personal responsibility, a, quote, change of heart, as Steve put it. First, Americans as individuals, and then our society as a whole, must be really honest about the root of our country's financial ills. Although his views might be distasteful to some, Steve points to a lack of spirituality as the source of our troubles. He puts the blame squarely at our feet for worshiping false gods, the gods of consumerism and greed. That's a tough pill to swallow, but it makes absolute sense. We want to live beyond our means, bigger house than we can afford, more car than we really need, the newest handheld communications devices, extravagances for our children without the benefit of them earning it, and on and on. And we want these things even if it means we have to dance with the devil. Steve isn't saying that we should deny ourselves of all comfort and even some luxury, and he certainly isn't suggesting we should live in dreary austerity. He just thinks we've forgotten to put God first in our lives. As long as we serve the gods of this world, it doesn't matter what quick fixes or investment solutions we try, Steve says. We still will be living a life clouded by half-truths and lies. In today's Word on Money, Steve addresses the common topics of financial management, but supports the discussion with fundamental truths from Scripture that shed light on the things we should consider to be most important when making decisions regarding our personal finances. Steve challenges us to work through the daily lessons, read the accompanying Scripture, and contemplate the daily meditations for 40 days. You're sure to renew your mind, your heart, and especially your spiritual soul, not just during these stormy periods of financial uncertainty, but for all of your life. And as Steve points out, you have his word on it. His is italicized there, referring to God, end quote. So as Steve points out, you have God's word on it. That's from Paul J. Meyer. He was the founder of Success Motivation International and over 40 other companies. And he's also, of course, a New York Times best-selling author. So thank you, Mr. Meyer. Appreciate that. And look forward to seeing you again in heaven. And hopefully it won't be too long that Jesus will return and we can all be in a much better place than than what this earth has become. So I don't think I mentioned that earlier. The book that I wrote is actually a 40-day journey where you just read a passage, maybe a page or two, each day for 40 days. Then there's a scripture to meditate on that you can use and think about throughout the day. And then also there's a couple of action points, or what I call paradigm shifters, some questions there in at the end of each day for you to think about, to hopefully shift your paradigm and to be thinking more about, you know, how you can implement what God says about money into your daily life and to your finances and you know, how you're treating and stewarding the wealth that God has entrusted to you. So I've enjoyed visiting with you today. I appreciate your tuning in. We'll be here every Sunday, and we're looking forward to talking with you further. Again, please communicate with us. Send us an email. Give us a call. Our office number is 254 area code, and then it's 751-0565. Our website is todayswordonmoney.com. Or you can call the station and they can tell you how to get in touch with me. But thank you again for joining us, and we wish you the very best. May the Lord richly bless you. May you receive God's best in every area of your life. And we thank you again for tuning in to Enriching People's Lives.